Welcome to episode 47 of the Geeks for the Win podcast, the podcast where we cover all things geeky. I am your host, William, known as Poetic Soul 44, and I'm joined with my co-host, Stuart.
Known across the internet as Casual Terror.
Henry.
What's going on, people? You know who it is, it's Knox.
And we have a very special guest, Rashani.
Hey, y'all, how you doing?
Alrighty.
Enthused there, are you?
I'm suppressing my enthusiasm. Curbing it, if you will. Curbing my enthusiasm. Yeah, that's it.
Well, you're actually probably one of our very first guests who is not part of like our little inner community. So would you like to inform our listeners who you are and what you do and all that fun stuff, Rashani?
Hi, I'm Rashani. I am the host of Single Simulcast, a show about everything and at the same time about nothing. It's a solo show that I do that discusses movies, music, video games, books, current events. Last week, I eulogized Macho Man Randy Savage. And I also am a co-host on the Gamer's Garage, which is primarily a video game podcast in which we discuss video game topics, of course. I also am a professional celebrity stalker, and that's how I got on this show. I think I celebrity stalked Poetic pretty well to the point where he finally broke down and was like, fine, just shut up and I will put you on the next episode. And I was like, hooray! So here I am.
I think it was more like, hey, I want a guest. Yes, you can guest. You can guest on our show. Yes, when? When do you want to? When is good for you?
He's leaving out all the Facebook messages, 2 o'clock tweets, things of that nature. Did you get the flowers?
No, I did not.
I'm still caught up on the whole celebrity thing. That's caught me.
But
if you call someone a celebrity, they'll do whatever you want.
Okay. Actually,
Try with the police officer when you get pulled over. Oh my God, it's you, Officer Clark. I've been talking about you all day long. Can I have your autograph?
Straight to jail. No. But I actually think I remember you, Rashani, from the hardcore Christian gaming community.
Yep.
Long time ago.
Very long time ago. I was on a show then called the Off Topic Gamers, and I was with the hardcore Christian gamers. Wow, that was before my son was born. And in one of my episodes, I kind of cussed a lot, and so I, you know, felt bad and I left. But I still, they actually, shouts out to them, the Hardcore Christian Gaming Association. I still talk with them on Facebook and everything. Great group of people. Y'all should really check them out, hang with them. They are definitely a great group of guys and ladies to get to know.
Yeah, it's a shame they stopped doing their podcast. Well, yeah. The main guys did. I think there's another podcast.
Yeah, they reinvigorated it, but it's kind of
it's none of the originals. The
yeah, it's not, yeah, it's not exactly the same as it used to be.
But yeah, I remember from that, and then when you started on the Gamer's Garage, you know, that's enough said there.
I actually, the first time that I got on the Gamer's Garage, it was funny. My mom heard the first episode and she was like, do you always talk like that? And I was like, talk like what? And she was like, with all the cussing. And I was like, no. She was like, okay. And then she heard the next episode and it was the same thing. And she was like, you know what? I'm just not going to listen anymore. And then she messed around and listened to the single simulcast. That was right before Mother's Day. So that was awkward. But yeah. I like to do podcasting because there's so many different topics that are out there that I just want to really get my thoughts and opinion in on. And you guys show the, oh, I've been wanting to do this for a couple weeks now, so this is like heaven.
Well, I guess, you know.
Hallelujah.
I'm just not used to all this praise. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it's weird, man. And normally we just, you know, get stalked by Ace Black sometime and the occasional, you know, silent call in, and that's about it. But, you know, this is great.
Yeah.
Asking in this silent, for a second.
Silent call in with followed by some heavy breathing.
Well, let the record show that you guys have fans out here in California.
Cool.
Alrighty. I guess we can just jump in. This is our E3 prediction episode. We're not going to take it too serious like others. We got, you know, our regular predictions, and then we're going to jump into some crazy predictions and to have some fun. Anyone in the Ustream chat can, you know, give us their opinions on what's going to happen. So, I guess we can jump into the first day is going to be what, Microsoft and Sony?
Yeah, the first day is going to be Microsoft and Sony, which is June 6th, I believe.
Yeah, okay. I guess let's jump into Sony. Anybody want to go first? Because I got a lot to say.
Oh, yeah, I got a lot. We can kind of bounce off each other, but it doesn't matter.
Okay. I think Sony's big thing is going to be – it's going to be kind of two things. It's going to be – you know, trying to recover from the network outages, you know, whether it's, I think they're going to offer more stuff, more free stuff, you know, like, since they announced their welcome back program, other stuff has happened, you know, other hackings and whatnot has happened. So I think they're going to try to do some other stuff. I think we're going to see some new features to PlayStation Plus, not to the core, you know, free PlayStation network, because they got to make money somehow.
They need to make money somehow.
Yeah, definitely. So I think we're going to see, like, maybe Party Chat, maybe. We say it every year. We say it every year, but this could be it. I mean, I definitely could see them. The year after they launched the E3 after they launched the PlayStation Plus, I believe. It's only been out for a year, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's only been out for a year.
So I think they're going to just add a bunch of stuff to PlayStation Plus to make people want to, you know, want to pay for it. What are your thoughts on it, everyone?
Well, I could see them talking about their new PSP, the Vita, I think it is. Vita.
That's the rumored name. Vita. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand that at all, but I'm out of it. Basically, it's the NGP. You're right, Ace. It'll always be the NGP in our hearts, because the Vita just sounds like either a dancer or something from I Love Lucy, the Vegetavita Vitamin, whatever it was called. So I can't wrap my mind around it, but I think that they're going to discuss that, and I hope they talk about something to get me interested in wanting to play the PlayStation Move, because right now I haven't seen anything that they've done that really draws me to that that extension of their system. I really feel badly for them. When the hacking and everything first started, I was mad at PlayStation. I was mad at Sony. I was still mad a few weeks later, but, you know, now I'm sad, you know, because they're getting ready for really their biggest presentation of the year, and they've got all of these maladies hitting them that they have to explain and talk about. So I think that most of their time is going to be spent really backpedaling, trying to regain people's trust, and then maybe in the last hour demoing games.
Yeah, I think Sony has to do, I mean, you know, just kind of alluding to what William was talking about, I think they have to give more free stuff, because, I mean, they've been hacked. Just like you said, Rashani, I mean, it's becoming like really, I just feel bad for them at this point, because every week it feels like it's something new part of Sony is being hacked some type of way. Mm-hmm. So I don't like, I mean, of course, we know the typical Japanese, what they do is they bow. They've already bowed, you know, for, I guess, for how many seconds they, you know, they bow for. And that was supposed to be their public apology. A lot of gamers are expecting an apology at the conference. I don't think that they're going to do that just because of the culture and the way they do things there. I think that they'll send, you know, their imaginary mascot out there. And they'll, you know, make fun and make light of it. Not too much, because they know that they're kind of treading, you know, water here.
They don't want to piss the hackers off even more.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. You know, and like when we speak about the PSN and the NGP and all these other different, you know, forms of devices and, you know, networks and everything, like the only thing that I can see PlayStation, Sony coming in the forefront of was 3D televisions. Like, that's the only thing that they kind of pretty much have been behind and pushed, because, you know, let's face it, they were forced into the online space by Xbox Live. They were kind of forced into kind of the handheld space with the success of Nintendo. And with the Move, I mean, with the abysmal marketing that they've they've kind of shoveled it into some games like SOCOM and things like that where you can adapt it to it. But they haven't been at the forefront of it like they have been with 3D. So I think you can see a lot from the 3D, from a lot from Sony as far as 3D. But as far as the NGP, I don't know if you want to go into pricing and stuff like that right now. But I think that the NGP is suffering from an identity crisis right now because of the fact that, I mean, we know the device is going to be at least $299. And I'm saying that it's going to be $349 for the Wi-Fi version and $399 for the actual 3G version or some
type
of.
You don't think the 3G would be cheaper since you would have to get a contract? You don't think it'd be subsidized at all?
Have they said that they're going to do contracts with the 3G version? Have they partnered with like Xperia or somebody? Or
I would think they'd do 3G with Verizon, because the Xperia Play is on Verizon, and I don't know.
Hopefully they actually will, but you know. Still, I say, I mean, because we know that the PS3 price drop is coming. I mean, because they have to do something more than just give free games out there. Because let me tell you something. Microsoft is sitting pretty, you know, pretty right now. I mean, they can drop the price whenever they want. And I don't think Microsoft will move until Sony moves. But I think Sony will move on the price drop because, you know, you got Nintendo consoles coming out. They're trying to save face. They're trying to give out free games and everything. So I think the PS3's price drop is coming. Maybe $50 is coming. And then, of course, Microsoft will follow suit. So you have a speculated NGP out there or what is it, Vita, whatever it is, out there at $299 or $349. You know, if you get a contract from whomever, they maybe going to knock it down to, what, $199 maybe with like a two-year contract or something like that. So, I mean, you're still kind of like, you know, what is the basis of this unit? Like, I'm going to be playing Uncharted on it, God of War on it, you know, and these are going to be like console experiences. So, and they've already realized that they need to bring these experiences to consoles, because we just podcast about that last week with the addition of God of War coming to consoles and all these other different bundles that they're making with PSP games coming to the console. So, you know, I think they need to do something more than just those games. I think they need to get, you know, on the good foot and figure out what Apple has done, what Android has done, you know, get these small games and get Netflix, get Hulu on there, get something other than gaming that this device can actually show off. Because graphical prowess is one thing, but to sell a handheld, you got to appeal to a wider market.
Do you think that they actually now take Apple seriously? And I mean both Sony as well as Nintendo and Microsoft. Do you think they look at Apple now like a formidable opponent as far as the handheld gaming market goes?
I think their eyebrows raised, but I don't think that they're taking them seriously. Because if they were, we wouldn't have games like Pilot Wings and Steel Diver costing $40 a pop. You know, and that's kind of the reason why Nintendo hasn't really done an earnings call about their 3DS, because it hasn't
not doing well.
Right, exactly. It hasn't done as well as they would like for it to do. And then even the numbers that we've received, that's been 3DS bundled with the DSi and stuff like that. So we really don't know what the actual numbers are of the 3DS yet. So they need to take them seriously. I don't think that they are right now because of the fact that the market is kind of in this period where it's like kind of like this quiet storm going on and everybody's trying to kind of feel their way. But I think with the Android market growing, you know, I mean, they had Plants vs. Zombies for free today. you know, on Android. I mean, today, I mean, these games are wonderful experiences. And I can't remember who it was. It wasn't Steve Jobs, but I think it was somebody who worked for Apple and said that, you know, their main goal in the gaming market is not to fight against other console makers. He says our number one competitor is to fight against boredom. And that's so true, because I only play, you know, Infinity Blade or, you know, Rage or whatever is on my iPhone whenever I get bored, or when I'm sitting in the line at supermarket and I'm not going anywhere, or if I'm getting my car fixed and I'm sitting inside the lobby somewhere. Like, that's when I play my portable console gaming and stuff like that. So, you know, 3DS is as well as Sony, because we're on Sony right now. I think they need to try to appeal to that market, but I don't think that they need to be concerned with the Apple and Android market, but I don't think that they are right now.
You know, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say real quick, the goal that I'm looking for with Apple and the Android is to reflect the same thing that that 2K Games was able to do with the NFL series against Madden, where they had to drop the price of Madden down, or they had to bump the quality up because the price of the NFL 2K games was so low. Apple games and Android games are, like, for their best games, it costs maybe – the highest price game I've seen was $15. So I'm hoping that Sony and Nintendo will realize that making us pay $40 for a handheld game is ridiculous, and take it back to the way that it was initially when it was only $19, or maybe even lower. So at some point.
I think that once Apple itself takes mobile gaming seriously, that's when everybody else will start taking Apple seriously as a mobile competitor.
I think so too. But that's what I say about Sony. Like Sony, even though Microsoft is kind of sitting in this cool space right now, and we'll get to Nintendo because there's a big question mark over them, but Sony doesn't realize how much power they have to turn the market where they want it to go. They have online for free. PSN is a great service, minus some quibs here and there, like party chat and, you know, getting the console integration right with different things, with downloading and stuff like that. That stuff is fixable. But if they can fix those little small things, they have the power to make Microsoft drop their price. And that's what we were hoping, you know, back when they were making these announcements about the new PSN and all this wonderful stuff coming, PSN Plus, and it's going to be great and everything. But it turns out they weren't able to do that. So they failed on that. They have the power to make Nintendo, you know, kind of push towards making games for the hardcore, because they have the power to capture the hardcore, which they already have us. They just need to appeal to a much wider audience, which they can do. But for some reason, they don't go after those publishers that make games, you know, like Professor Layton and, you know, all these other, you know, small games that do very, very well on Nintendo's platform. But they had the power to do that. Like, I mean, take something like Blu-ray and 3D. Like they're at the forefront of this technology. Like they have all these tools. It's like Sony is a magnificent armored soldier, but they have no clue on how to use their weapons, you know?
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
So we talked a little about the NGP. I mean, what about the price? I think it's probably going to – I would say it would start at $299. I think there will be a version for $299. I'm not sure whether there will be a higher version for 3G or a lower version subsidized with the carrier. I just think $299, you know, since the 3DS is what, $250?
Yeah,
I think, you know, anything higher than either, you know, $300 or, you know, $350 was just, you know, overkill.
I think when they talk about the NGP, I think we're going to hear these exact words. You're going to take your console gaming and move it on the road. You're going to transfer your saves from the PlayStation 3 onto the Vita or whatever.
And that's the big thing everyone's, you know, I guess everyone's hoping and everyone's been talking about would be the best thing to do.
Unless I'm delusional, I've been hearing that for like the past 2 years.
True. When they started doing the remote access thing between the PlayStation Portable and the PlayStation 3, they were talking about you'd be able to do that.
Yeah, but I think depending on, I mean, they've said a little bit about the hardware, but they really haven't gone into that much detail as, like, you know, cell phone companies do. I mean, they've said it's going to be quad core, but they haven't said anything about the speed of the processors or anything like that. I mean, we really don't know too much about it. So, I mean, I'm sure the hardware will be capable to do such things as, you know, transfer like a PS3 game, like, you know, transfer God of War 4, you know, when you're onto your NGP, and then take it, you know, and during lunch, like, you know, your lunch break at work, play it 30 minutes of it, and then, you know, 30 minutes on the bus ride home, and then you can load it back into your PS3. And I think something like that would actually be possible, depending on if the hardware, you know, I mean, quad core, depending on what the processors are, I think it actually could be possible. Unlike the, you know, PSP, the original PSP.
I've heard of PS2 in your hands. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, I think it'll be more powerful than the PS2. And we talk about memory transfers and things like that. Like, I think that stuff will be a piece of cake for that unit to do. I mean, especially with all the tech specs that they've kind of touted and thrown out there. Even though we don't know the details of those tech specs, but having dual cores, and if it's anything remotely close to what we have in the Android market or even the iPhone market for that matter, I think that it'll be a piece of cake for that unit to be able to do all that stuff. I guess the biggest question mark would just be, you know, like, who does the NGP appeal to? You know, it's a very niche market. Like, you know, what are they expecting for this unit to do as far as running numbers and as far as it being a profitable unit? Will it be profitable out of the gate at $299? You know, can they get carriers to, you know, to sign on with this thing? And, you know, if little Johnny, who's, you know, 12 years old, and I mean, there's no way he's going to be allowed to go sign a 2-year contract, you know, with, you know, whatever carrier. So he has to pay full price for it. So, you know, there's just a lot of question marks surrounding the NGP right now and what they're going to do with it. But I hope that they do make money on it. I hope that niche market does support it. But with stuff like the iPad 2 is out and stuff like, you know, netbooks and different tablets and, I mean, all these different things, like they're competing in that space now because it's no longer a gaming unit. So I think they need, just like I said before, they need people like Hulu. They need, you know, some type of on-demand service, which they've named. They need, you know, I don't know how to pronounce this word, but I guess it's Curiosity, I guess.
Curiosity,
mm-hmm. Yeah. They need those services on there, and they need to advertise those services like nobody's business to put it in the forefront of people's mind that this is a unit that can do everything, and not just say it, but show it to me, you know.
What's concerning me, and this, I know that there's other things to talk about for both PlayStation as well as Xbox and Nintendo. But what concerns me about the NGP is simply this. With my iPhone, if I sit down and play games on it, the battery is okay. If I sit down and play games on it and I'm Skyping back and forth with somebody or I'm Twittering back and forth, yeah, the battery gets drained much quicker than I'd like for it to. You know, and these are games that some of them, I mean, Infinity Blade, yeah, the graphics are beautiful and it's very involving, but for the majority of them, it's a really, you know, it's graphics in a system that's able to be used easily on this phone. They're talking about putting Uncharted and PlayStation 2 versions of beautiful games onto this phone, and then they're going to have other. Yeah. How are they expecting the battery to hold out on this thing is what I'm curious about. I know that as a gamer, I'm pleased with my iPhone, but when I'm on a trip and I run out of batteries, it irritates me. And the iPhone has maybe 4 hours of battery life if you're not playing any games.
Right.
I think the NGP will probably have about 2.
That's, I think it'll have more than that, because I don't think that they can put a portable console out there with just 2 hours worth of battery life. The only question is that just like the PSP, you could pop that sucker off, and, well, the original PSP, and up to the 3000 model, you can pop it off and you can buy another battery for it. You can buy an extended battery. And from the reports that what we've seen so far, that's not the case with this new model.
Because they got that touchscreen on the back.
Right, exactly. So they don't want people opening it up and, you know, messing with the parts and everything. So is there going to be a battery slot? Will I be able to change it, or will it just be, you know, a stagnant battery that's going to remain in there forever, or whenever it goes out, it just goes out or whatever. So, That's another thing, but that's a good point, because battery life is a key, because I know sometimes I'm playing Infinity Blade and I'll get a Twitter message and I'll hop back off that and Twitter somebody and go back and forth and my battery is already depleted within, you know, an hour or so, mm-hmm. you know, so, yeah.
Well, I know they've done battery really just as far as battery, it goes two things, you know, the hardware and the software has to work together. Because as I'm looking at the new dual-core, you know, Android phones, you have some where they have extremely awesome battery life because the software is just – it's light. It's lightweight. It's, you know, stock Android. It doesn't – it's not, you know, a certain flavor that a lot of the carriers or a lot of the manufacturers have of Android. It's just stock. It's lightweight. Doesn't have all the bloatware apps on it. And then you have the phones that, you know, do have all the bloatware apps and stuff, and that's, you know, takes up all kinds of space and just slows the device down. I mean, it just depends on what the software will be for the NGP, I really think. I mean, if it's going to be a lightweight software or if it's going to be bloated down with all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, they've said they're supposed to have like a unilateral software for the Xperia and the NGP, and then hopefully with the rebuilding of this new PSN, they're kind of, you know, kind of alluding to. Hopefully, they're not just, you know, blowing smoke, but hopefully it will be across the board and it'll be real simple. Because they've released pictures with like the little apps are like little round circles, and you'll be able to select your music, and they'll have different, you know, options that you can kind of pair between the two or between the three, you know, different areas: PSN, NGP, and the PS3. So hopefully they'll integrate that stuff well together, and they'll have it, and they'll make security a top priority, and they'll have everything set. But that's a lot easier said than done, especially so quickly as this stuff is moving. I mean, but
exactly. I was just saying exactly. I was telling one of my friends that Sony has been hit with just a string of horrible circumstances. And we can't expect them to get up. I mean, we can expect them to get up there and show us some things where we're going to be like, okay, that's impressive. But we can't expect them to get up there and push on like nothing's happened and nothing's changed, because their whole world is different. So don't be overly surprised if you come away from the Sony E3 press conference with more information about their security system than you do about their upcoming video game systems.
Yeah, I mean, I understand your reasoning, but I just don't know if Sony's gonna even mention it, because they just received so much bad press from it, and just that culture and the way of doing things. I don't know if they want to even kind of reopen that wound and just keep talking about it, so on and so forth. I think they'll probably do that in like an earnings call or something like that, or like a stockholders call, and we'll hear about it through, you know, IGN or Joystick or whatever. But I don't think that they're going to do it on the platform of E3, you know, the big stage.
Oh, I think they will. I think they'll do it as in,
really?
You know, we've had this amount of people sign up for our free 1-year identity theft protection program.
Yeah, they'll
and,
do that.
They'll do stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, they'll address it, but I don't think they'll be, you know, spend half the time, you know, going into detail about, you know, we have, like they did with their first press conference after the hassle, where they had the chart saying, you know, this is how our system is, and you have to get through this firewall to here and do this fire. I don't think they'll do that, but I think they'll try to, you know, use statistics and try to spin it their way.
Yeah, this is how it'll go. It'll go, you know, like, you know, because of, you know, this new security system, we are now the most secure console on the market today. I bet you they will say those words.
They probably will.
I can see that.
I don't know about that when they can't even get their system in their home country.
Oh no! It's actually back up in Japan.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they actually got it back up in Japan, but that was a little ironic, you know. But over here in the States, we just turn it back on.
We're getting free stuff. Hell yeah!
No fear
about the Americans credit card. Yep, we don't care.
Oh, we don't care.
If they saw my credit card, they would have cut me off a long time ago.
Oh, man.
Damn.
Yeah. Okay, so we briefly talked about the move earlier. So what do you guys think that we may see from the Motion Control Gaming House? Because I'm very excited for Child of Eden, which is coming out for the Kinect in June this month. Well, will be this month by the time this go up, probably. But it's coming out in September for the move. But I'm kind of curious to see what other games they might bring out for the move, because we haven't. Well, what was the game they showed at last E3? It was called Sword and Sorcery, or Sorcery or something like that.
It's just Sorcery. Yeah.
Sorcery. Yeah. Sorcery. And there was another one.
Generic Harry Potter game.
Yeah.
It was that one. Looked really cool, though.
Yeah. But that one is kind of like, yo, that's a movie property game. I'm not even banking on that one. But do you think that we'll see more move games, or do you think Sony just kind of looking at that move like it's just an accessory that's there, and if you want to do that motion control stuff, you go ahead, but we're focusing on something else? Or do you think they're going to actually get behind this thing, this E3, and put it in the forefront?
I feel like Move went the way of the iToy.
Exactly.
You know, the year it came out, they were like, yeah, we got this thing. It came out. We're not going to ever talk about it again until the next console when we bring out Move 2.
I think that Sony as a company is a group that, like you said, with the exception of 3D TV, Sony is a company that watches to see what other people do. And then if it works, they try and conceptualize it or utilize it, but they don't put their all behind it because they're still not sure if it's going to work. So they watched the Wii to see how that would do when it took off. They did the Move, but now the Wii is starting to be on its downslide. And I think they're looking at the Move like, okay, are we really going to stand behind this, or are we going to look for the next big thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. The thing is, the Move games that I saw didn't impress me. And the games that I saw that had the add-in for Move really didn't impress me.
Not even the SOCOM gun or the sorcery game? Those are pretty cool.
The sorcery game, yeah. I mean, but in all, you know.
Yeah.
If you move this, the Sackboy's arm moves and stuff like that. And I think it's the same way that when they first came out with the PS3 and they had the controllers before they did DualShock, when it was just motion control, and they were like, if you move this, the Dragon will move. I forget what that game was called, but where everything was done by moving the actual PlayStation 3 controller. That didn't last too long with them. Yeah, Lair. I think that they just have a short attention span when it comes to some of their inventions. So I don't think they're going to talk. They may gloss over it. Like, it'll be, you know, like their commercials where it's like Sony does. It'll mention Sony does Move, and then they'll show a few things. That's really it. As far as I that's just me guessing, but
I think Kevin Butler will pop on stage and say, "We have buttons."
But, you know what? Speaking of Kevin Butler and things that have been forgotten, whatever happened to Marcus? Like, where is that kid at?
Yeah.
He was supposed to be the advocate for PSP and behind it and get off your phone. You know, phones are stupid.
PSP. We'll see him maybe in GP.
Really?
Three, maybe. I don't know.
And then we won't see him again until 2012.
He just disappeared, man. It's cold.
He might be doing Role Models Part 2.
Oh, God. But getting back to the Move, seriously. I think they have a real, you know, they could go a certain way. Like, they could definitely, you know, attract me by bringing out games like, you know, which was announced, I think, yesterday. House of the Dead Overkill is getting ported to the PS3. I mean, if they could do, like, the old time, like, arcade-type games, like, we used to go into the arcade and play, you know, the light gun games and stuff like that. If they could just bring those type of games out, since there are, like, no arcades anymore, and they can tote it as, you know, relive the arcade moments in your house and stuff like that, I would be totally down for it. I mean, House of the Dead, Time Crisis, I mean, there's just all kinds of games. I mean, like the Terminator 2 game that was in the arcades. I mean,
yeah, I mean all those games. I mean, even that little game where it's like what is it, like Deer Hunter, and you break the bottles and you shoot like little random little things, you know?
Yeah,
those type of games. I mean, Area just shovel 51. Them on there. I mean, it's easy. Yeah.
I mean, they could really just, you know, attract a large audience with that. I mean, just going that route.
Yeah, and see, just like I was saying, like they have the ability to do motion, and they do something what Kinect can't do, which is player feedback, you know, vibration. Like, they have the ability to do all that. Like, you can give me colors, you can change colors on the little ball in the front and everything. I mean, I mean, we know it's not going to be that drastic of a, you know, of a leap in motion gaming, but, like, if you have the ability to do it, like, why not just go ahead and do it? Like, you can do it. It's easy.
Definitely. But that's the only thing I could see them really, you know, toting for the move, because, you know, they've come out with Killzone 3, you know, to use it, and they've come out with a lot of other games that have it capable, you know, to use it. But, you know, as far as those games, people just like to use the controllers. The people who play those type of games don't want to use the move.
I really hate the move. It's not it's nothing personal. I saw my friend playing with it, and it looks so just not me. I just can't get behind it. They need to really just put out something so outstanding that I'm like, okay, I have to get my hands on that. And nothing that they can do at this point in time will make me want the move. What I want is the Kinect. And that's because they've advertised what they have for the Kinect, and they showed things that appealed to me for the Kinect, like the whole Michael Jackson experience. I want to do that. I want to lean like Michael Jackson and sing Smooth Criminal, and, you know, but move is passe for me. And I never trusted them anyway. Like you said, the iToy and all that other stuff went by so quickly. I was just waiting. It was like their 15 minutes of fame for the move will pass pretty quickly.
Yeah. So I think they'll have something. I think they'll do something, because that's just money to just waste it if they just ignore it completely. They have to have some things to shell out, because even if, you know, just a few thousand people buy, you know, moves and stuff this year, that's more than nothing. I honestly think they'll come out, they'll lower the price of the, you know, the PS3, and they'll have a, like, they'll include a Move bundle with it. You know, like, what is the PS3 is $299?
Yeah, the PS3 is $299 right now.
I think they'll come out $250, and you get a Move controller. You know, you get the standard Move bundle.
Right.
Nothing extra, you know, and I guess if there's a, I don't even know if there's a game that comes with Move, but if there is a game that comes with Move Sports or whatever, I don't know.
No, I can tell you. The answer is no, because I bought my homeboy a PlayStation Move for his birthday. And I was like, okay, what do you get? No, it does come with something called Sports Champions.
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes with the game. I take that back. But the game sucks. And they only give you, like, one half of the Move controller. So you have to buy the other half. Basically, when you walk into the store to buy a Move, you're going to walk out mad. Because the game sucks. You need a second controller, the second Move part, to actually enjoy the game that you're going to be playing. And the second part costs, like, another $60.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it was for the Wii. I mean, you couldn't just buy the full controller. You had to buy another nunchuck. You had to buy a nunchuck and then another Wii controller separately. And I mean, that got pretty pricey. I mean, that could get really pricey. It's like, hey, you know, it's the cheapest console, but once you get done buying all the different controllers and stuff, it was pretty pricey. But that's all I can think of. I mean, you know, we're going to see Uncharted, and we're going to see Resistance stuff and all their other, you know, major titles. But I can't. Infamous 2 comes out that week.
Yeah, as far as games for, like, Sony, I can't. I mean, they pretty much blew their load. I mean, they've pretty much told us about every game that's coming out for the rest of whenever. You know, I mean, as far as the Sony, you know, house is concerned, I mean, we know Infamous 2 is coming, like you said, Uncharted. I mean, they've already announced God of War 4, probably not this year, of course, but they've already announced it. Like, I don't know if there's anything new that they can say that is either going to be a Sony exclusive or something, you know, that's going to make us, I guess, just anticipate a Sony game coming from that house. Like, I just don't see a game coming from there.
I got one.
Last Guardian?
There's no title yet, but I bet you will see the company name somewhere up on the screen. Bungie.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they'll show that. I mean, they'll probably show that at some point, but Bungie's not even going to be there. So
no, but you know, but
they can still show a trailer or something like that. Yeah,
it doesn't mean a property of theirs won't be shown.
Right.
Exactly.
That's the misleading part of, you know, like Valve's not going to be there, but doesn't mean we're not going to see Left 4 Dead 3 on the PS3.
Half-Life 3, keep hope alive.
But I almost forgot. Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot more Steam integration. I really do. Because I think Valve really has Sony by the balls after this whole, you know, security issue. I think they have a lot of, you know, leverage against them, against, you know, putting more Steam on the PS3.
I most certainly hope so. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a service that I honestly and truly would actually pay for. But I just don't know about that Sony culture over there, man. Like, they're just so proud. Like, hopefully they're learning, but I just still think that they got a ways to go, and they got a lot more humbling to do before they will allow, you know, another person to come in and just take over their platform and just do it for them, which they should. I agree with you wholeheartedly. They should, but I just think that they're not at that point yet, and they won't.
So you think that would go under crazy predictions, or you think that's actually realistic?
I think with Sony's attitude right now, I think it's halfway in between. It could be under crazy, though.
I just think about, you know, the crazy Steam deals on the PS3. I would just love that.
Wouldn't we all? I'm telling you, I'm agreeing with you. I just don't feel that Sony. I just don't feel that they will. I really hope that they do. It would be great if they did. I just don't know if they can let go of their pride of their service yet. I think they just have too much pride right now.
Yeah.
But hopefully they will.
But I do think there will at least be another step into the integration. I think they had I think before the whole system going down, they had something planned with Valve. You know, something, another game to, if it's Half-Life 3 or Left 4 Dead 3 or, you know, something. I think they had something in the works to, you know, incorporate more Steam integration into the PS3.
Yeah.
Because you can't just have, oh, Portal 2, and that'd be the only game.
Yeah, I mean, knowing that Valve is going to, it's not, I mean, I'm sure it hasn't been announced, but it's not a question of if, but when Valve does Left 4 Dead Part 3. Sony needs to be in on that. And I know that their relationship for a while there with Valve was kind of shaky, wasn't it? But that would be a absolute boon if they were able to secure something with Valve going forward for Steam.
Real quickly, you know, as far as new integration with Steam, you know, I think we're going to see a lot more of the mods, you know, because Left 4 Dead 2, I've seen on the PC, or not mods, yeah, mods, but I mean user-created levels and stuff, because there's just anything you can think of. If you played Left 4 Dead or Left 4 Dead 2, any level you can imagine, it's pretty much on, you know, the user created levels and something like that.
Same with Unreal Tournament 3.
Yeah, but I think that could really give Sony an edge towards Microsoft, where Microsoft wants to, you know, people to pay for every single downloadable thing. down to the very last gamer pick.
Yeah, I hope so, but I think
unless it's an award.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know. After this whole PSN stuff and everything, I think Sony will be a little bit more careful to allow user mods, and you know, because they have an open platform. But we see how dangerous having an open platform is. You know, I mean, look at the PC market. If you want to get something on PC, I mean, it's pretty easy to go and just download it, whatever you want to do, and pretty much do whatever you want to do on it, which is cool for the modding community. But for consoles, I think that's the reason why Microsoft has a more tight-knit, closed, you know, system, because of the fact that you have the potential to let stuff through or to let people through that can damage your system. And so I don't know if Sony will allow that much freedom.
Well, I mean, you've seen the user-created stuff on Little Big Planet, and I think
Mod Nation Racers,
so I wouldn't be too much of a leap.
I think it would be really good if they did give that sort of freedom to show that sort of trust in their community as far as growth and modding and whatnot. I would jump on quickly.
Yeah, so I guess... I got anyone any last thing about Sony, or do we want to move on?
I'm good.
Okay. Do we want to with Microsoft? I guess, since they're going to be the same day.
We can go Microsoft.
Honestly, I've been like scratching my head thinking what Microsoft could really, you know, what they could announce. I mean, I honestly don't know on it. I mean, some Kinect stuff, of course, but besides that, I can't think of anything that it seems like Microsoft's really just, you know, toting they have the better third-party support.
They will probably mention what their plans are with Skype. At least I'm gonna hope they are. And I'm definitely gonna see, you know, a bunch of Kinect-heavy software stuff.
Yeah, I think you'll most definitely see a bunch of Kinect stuff. But I think they'll do it in a different fashion from the way that Nintendo approached the same thing they approached the Wii with about 3 or 4 years ago. I think the Kinect, the hardcore gamers, think it, oh, they're forgetting the casual because, I mean, they're forgetting the hardcore because they're appealing to the casual, and they're going to bring out, you know, I don't know, Kinect Sports 2 or, you know, all these different types of casual games, Sesame Street, all this stuff and everything. But let's not forget, like, you're still getting Child of Eden. You're still getting Star Wars Kinect. There's still a big question mark of the Gears of War property with Kinect, because they've already announced it, said that it's going to be coming. I mean, there's a lot of hardcore titles, well, I guess core titles, that will be coming that may surprise us. They may be flops or whatever. And then you have all the integrated items, like all these new screenshots that are popping up and these games that are coming out, like Ghost Recon Future Soldier. It says it got a little tagline now where it says it's better with Kinect. All the games that have Kinect integration, like Virtual Tennis 4, better with Kinect. Of course, it may not be better with Kinect. That's, of course, a marketing ploy. That's a marketing ploy. I mean, of course, but it's terribly smart, though. But I think Microsoft, they do have the biggest question mark kind of lingering over their name, because as far as consoles exclusive, they're few and far between. We're getting Gears of War 3, some Kinect stuff, but as far as any other core titles, there's nothing really out there that just begs, you know, exclusivity. Forza, but I mean, you know, that's big in Europe. I mean, it's big in the States too, but it's not like, you know, it's not like a Gears or a COD, even despite the fact that they'll announce, you know, 3 months exclusivity on map packs for COD. Okay, big deal. Okay, we already know that. But I don't see anything else surprising. Everybody's rumbling about a new console being announced. Not going to happen. Microsoft sitting pretty in the position that they're in. They're making too much money. Revenue over revenue over revenue. I mean, their year-over-year console. Yeah, exactly. I mean, Kinect was their relaunch. Like, they spent, what was it, like $500 million-something dollars on their ad campaign? Like, that's a relaunch of a new console. Like, Kinect is their bread and butter, and they've been doing very well with it, and they've appealed to it. And I think the reason why, yeah, I mean, Microsoft is they're probably the greatest people at like doing stuff like this, because they gave you, you know, Avatar Kinect. I mean, they gave you stuff like Game Room, like all these things we'll probably use, you know, as a novelty and kind of go in there and say, hey, you know, wow, I can play Centipede now. Then after a couple games, you're like, yeah, I'm playing Centipede. Wow. You know, and then you're pretty much done with it, you know. But I think with the Kinect, they pretty much integrated stuff into it that was it's more functional. Like, it makes sense that I can come in and I can say, you know, Xbox, you know, Kinect, and it goes to my Kinect dashboard. I can select Hulu without picking up my controller, because half the time I got a 1-year-old. My 1-year-old's taking batteries out and throwing stuff around, and, you know, I can't find my controller half the time. It's so cool to come in and, you know, just bark out to the console what I want to play.
Here is where we have technical difficulties. We will resume the podcast shortly. Now back to your geeky goodness.
All right, I was pretty much done with my statement. I mean, did it get the recording, or did the recording look choppy?
It came. I heard what you were saying about being a big geek and Star Wars, and I heard everything you were saying about Sesame Street, and I was actually waiting patiently because I had something to say about that, and then it got choppy, and then Stuart decided that he needed to go get a sandwich.
All right, well, by all means, go ahead. You know, jump in.
We'll he didn't really drop. He went to get a sandwich. We know Stuart. But yeah, let me know when we're recording, and I'll go.
Oh yeah, still recording.
Oh well then, you know, Henry, as I had alluded to earlier, I have a 3-year-old son, and he is. I don't know how he finds out about the things he finds out about, unless he's like not really a 3-year-old. He's like some sort of ninja kid, because he knows about Sesame Street coming out. We don't even have a Kinect yet, and he's head over heels for this Sesame Street game.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it, because that the difference between Sony and PlayStation, or Sony and PlayStation, the difference between Microsoft and Sony is night and day. They're showing me with the Kinect new ways to get gamers involved, new ways to get kids involved, and I'm excited about that. I don't know what you guys have heard about the Sesame Street game, but it really looks cool. I mean, the way the kids are able to interact and dance with Elmo and count things and talk to the characters and really feel like they're engaged, I think is the next step for gaming as a whole. So I will be excited about Star Wars as it comes closer, I promise. But right now, I just want to get a Kinect and get my son that Sesame Street game. And I bet you when he falls asleep, I'll be playing it.
Yeah, and I mean, and they're getting, you know, quality stuff behind it. Like, it's not just shovelware like we see on Nintendo. I mean, Double Fine is actually developing this game. I mean, they're getting people behind it, you know. I mean, you know, the same people who did Brutal Legend and stuff like that. I mean, they're actually getting behind these properties and actually making, you know,
I wouldn't good mention core titles. Brutal Legend if you're trying to, you know.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, I mean, despite, you know, what you may say about Brutal Legend and Psychonauts and everything else, like, those games probably weren't, you know, massively received with, you know, the dollars that, you know, that we look at every single day. But I mean, but they're good games. I mean, they're good games that came out that were critically received, you know, somewhat well. And I mean, these are not, you know, they're not Joe Schmo developer, you know, just making, you know, toss games for the Kinect. No, these are actually, you know, these are actual houses that are making games that are, you know, good for the actual technology that it's actually using.
But then you see, you know, what, Carnival Games, whatever, for the Kinect. You see the commercial for that.
Yeah, the Monkey See, Monkey Do.
Yeah. Stuff yeah, like that. I mean, I don't know. I think that stuff like that is really hurting it. Where's the Child of Eden commercials?
Yeah. But, I mean, if you look at as a marketing spot, that's what's going to appeal to most people is the mini games. Unfortunately, like everybody's going to look at Child of Eden and go, "What the hell are we looking at? What is this? Well, I don't know. I'm never going to get it. I'm going to have a seizure while playing it." No.
But see, that's the beautiful part of it, because, you know, like in my household, I have a 1.5 year old. You know, I have a wife that really doesn't play games that often, you know, and then, you know, then you have me, which is the techno geek, you know, the hardcore guy. But within those groups, like, I have something that can appeal to everybody. And on this system, we can use it because it functions with, you know, my movie watching, my TV show watching. It functions with, you know, possibly my Skype calling, because they've already announced that they're going to integrate the stuff with Xbox Live and Kinect and stuff like that, which would be perfect. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to sign into dumb Windows Messenger every time I sign into Video Kinect, but that's another. but you know, I'll be able to cut on Sesame Street for my son. I'll be able to put in my Star Wars Kinect, hop around the living room, act like a big geek. And then my wife can cut on Your Shape Fitness Evolve and do her workout, and I can work out with her. I mean, you know, like, it's all these conglomeration of things. Even with the monkey see thing, like, I've never played the game, so I can't really, you know, say whether it's good or not. But I mean, some families just want to have just a family game. You pop it in, watch everybody expo at the bottles, watch them drop, hit the strong man, you know, beam, you know, all that stuff like that. You know, but it's not tons of that stuff. Like, Microsoft is being real selective on the Kinect and what's coming out for it. There's not tons and tons of this stuff just overshadowing this system, making it just be for the casual and then making it look like it's just a casual box, because they're appealing to both sides. Now, I think that's the fundamental difference between Nintendo and what Microsoft is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see a lot of downloadable arcade titles that use the Kinect. I'd be shocked if we didn't see any.
They should. There's a bunch of rumors with, you know, with the whole Angry Birds and Fruit Ninja and stuff like that. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, I mean,
I think that'd be perfect.
You know, speaking of Xbox Live Arcade, I think that is something that they really should strive to not so much reconnect with their fans, but we're coming up to the point in time of the year where they do the Summer of Arcade. They usually do it around E3.
Yeah.
I want my Pac-Man Battle Royale. You know, I want to be excited about Xbox Live Arcade again, because the games they do for the Summer of Gaming generally are their biggest of the year. And I don't want them in the midst of doing Kinect and all that kind of stuff to leave that out. So I want some surprising stuff to come out. Killer Instinct. I'm just making, you know, suggestions.
I love Killer Instinct.
Something else would really get people back into it. I was talking with one of my friends a few days ago, and he was mentioning how big fighting games really are getting back on the scene.
Yeah.
So to put Killer Instinct back out there, or remake a Killer Instinct, would probably be strides towards placating audiences really getting big again. So I really think that they should focus on the arcade with E3 and impressing upon them that they haven't left out that core audience either.
Yeah, and they were doing that for a little while when they, you know they kept bringing out, like, you know, those nostalgic titles, you know, like Final Fight, Streets of Rage, you know, Golden Axe. They were doing it for a little while, but then they kind of backed off, and then they kind of restructured it. And really the main thing they have to get correct is just the pricing structure. I mean, because, mm-hmm. you know, Summer of Arcade has turned into the $15 arcade. Like, doesn't matter what it is, it's $15 off the bat. Price it accordingly to what the game is. You know, I mean, I understand that these developers need their money, and Microsoft does too, and to make the ship run, and all, I mean, blah blah blah, all this stuff and everything. But price these things accordingly, like just like the past thing that came out, Hard Corps Uprising, the Contra prequel or whatever.
Yeah,
I think it was $15. That thing was.
I wanted that so bad, man. And then I saw the price point, and I've never laughed so long in my life.
Yeah, I mean, so they need to get that pricing structure right, because look at something like when they even their games on demand. Like, I looked at games on demand, like that spot on Xbox Live is getting really big, and they have the potential to go somewhere with that. But I'm not going to pay you $29 for Lost Planet 2. I'm not going to pay you $60 for Halo Reach. I'm not going to pay you, you know, $60 for Condemned. You know, like, get the pricing structure right, and this stuff will work wonders for Microsoft. And that's the only thing that Microsoft has. That's that one little nitpick I have with them, is that they're just too money hungry sometimes. Like, and I don't understand why, because their deals of the week, they've been banging these deals out, man. I bought Limbo for $5. I bought Snoopy's Flying Ace for $5. Explosion Man for, what was it, $2. Like, DLC has been marked down to like $2, $1.50 for certain games. I mean, they've been doing a good job with that stuff, but it needs to be across the board. Games on demand, Xbox Live arcade games, and DLC content.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just, I mean, a unified pricing structure.
Like Castle Crashers, that's how old? At least 2 years old?
Oh, yeah.
That's still, what, $15?
$15, yep.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yep. I picked it up for half that, but still, I mean.
And while we're talking about it, show me something about the Behemoth game that they're touting. You know, just get me excited about what you're doing in the arcade. Don't get to the point where you leave people out in the hopes to placate what you feel is your larger audience. You don't know who your larger audience is. I've been doing my show for 7 episodes, and I don't know who the hell is listening. So, you know, you can't put out a game and expect everybody to pick it up and think of it the same way. And you can't address people at E3 and think that everybody's going to want to hear the same thing. Me, I want to know, you know, what games my wife, who is – you know, the sunshine of the world to me, just started playing video games again. And she had been playing when she was pregnant with our son, the 3-year-old. And then she stopped. But now she's playing Civilization Revolution, and she's in love with that game, and she's playing it like all the bloody time. And I'm excited about that. What games can you show that are going to get my wife involved so I can keep this good going? So she asked me when I'm going to turn off the game, and instead she asked me to pass the controller, you know. So there's we all have our own reasons, and that's one of mine. You know, watching my wife play video games is kind of hot, so show me something that's going to keep that flame going. But in all honesty, I just want Microsoft to not get don't get static with what they show. Microsoft, the thing about their E3 presentation is they don't have an excuse. Sony has an excuse. If everything falls apart for them, if everything goes all to hell for Sony, they can say, well, we had to spend the majority of our time taking care of this. Did you notice we got hacked? Xbox has had none of these issues. So they really need to come out and just knock it out. Knock it out of the park, or else it's a failure.
And see, that's why I think that it's equally scary and exciting right now, because Microsoft has been terribly quiet about anything that they're doing. So I don't know if this could be their greatest triumph or if it could be their biggest failure, you know, as far as this E3, you know, coming up, because like Microsoft obviously some type of leaked ad comes out with the new Xbox 360 Slim last year, and a lot, and like Microsoft is the worst at keeping any secrets. So it's just kind of like, it's kind of like on both ends of the spectrum. Like, I'm excited, but I'm also scared. I'm trying to figure out, okay, what is Microsoft's plan? And we just don't know right now. So
yeah, look at Kinect. That was leaked. Like, I mean, that was a huge leak right there in itself. I mean, I agree, and it has me worried. You know, that we haven't seen anything anything leaked. I mean, it has me worried just that if they're just gonna, you know, sit back and just, you know, we've got third party support, we got Call of Duty, this, we got all, you know, we're, more people buy third party games on our system, so, you know, we're winning. We don't need to really do much here. Have your gears this year, and you know.
No, they're not winning. I mean, if you look at sales, not numbers, Nintendo is still blowing them out of the water.
Yeah, but Microsoft, they've already went on record and say that they don't care about Nintendo.
Yeah, Not a contest between Nintendo really, and right now.
I mean, Nintendo's 95 million ahead. Like, they don't, that's almost not feasible to even think about.
Look at software sales. I mean, Microsoft, they have, Halo may not sell more than, say, Mario Kart or whatever, but they have more games that sell at a great number than, Nintendo does.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and then when you look at the margins and the revenue that Microsoft is making, 60% revenues year over year, 50%, 45%.
Xbox Live subscription.
Yeah, they're making money hand over fist, and that's why I think they're kind of sitting on what they have. But I don't think Microsoft will be quiet at E3. I think they'll show some stuff, but I'm just so curious, and you just don't know what they're going to show. I think the only exclusive game that I'm really what's that game that we were talking about before the podcast is made by Crytek, and it's like a medieval type game that they announced last year for E3.
I want to say it's like Kingdom, something like that.
Kingdom, yeah, something like that. Exclusive game that they've pretty much announced from any developer coming down is basically proved that. Metal Gear Solid is coming to Xbox 360. We reassure you, it's still here. It looks beautiful. So on and so. They'll do that. But other than the integration of a Kinect with most of the titles, I think that'll be their biggest thing this year.
Yeah, and it's Kingdoms. It's
Kingdoms.
Kingdoms. I think. Yeah, I just googled it.
Here's the way I see the Xbox going. It's with E3 lately, they've been focusing a lot of media stuff. Last year was, what the Kinect can do with media. And I can see them going even farther in that direction. Not really, yes, we got the games, we're going to let the companies talk about those games. But we're going to be talking about what we're going to be doing to enhance your non-gaming experiences.
Yeah. My biggest question is ESPN, Hulu, Netflix. Are we going to see anything else different media-wise? Anything else?
I don't think
what
so.
What can they add?
We were talking about the partition between the friends list stuff and everything, but that's not like a real big announcement. It'd probably be big, for us, but as far as gaming, there's not, if they do the Friends thing, I'll be excited for it, but I just want them to get the Kinect controls for Hulu and Netflix correct, where I can control everything from it.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's a Microsoft issue. I think that's more of a Netflix and Hulu. I think that's on their end. I don't think that's Microsoft.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think they have to work together. They both work together to get the stuff, Kinect support and whatnot. Because, I mean, if it was up to Netflix, they're adding Netflix on my Casio calculator by, fall this year. I mean, it seems like they're adding it on. They're just going crazy and adding it on any device they can. Henry, does your microwave have Netflix?
Right?
You joke, but I did see a refrigerator with a TV on it. So that's the next step.
I'm telling you, man.
Oh, I'd never leave the kitchen.
I want it once too bad.
The way these gas prices are going up, we already got TVs at the gas pump.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the gas pump. Just slide your little phone or your wallet across it, then watch your home movies while you're at the gas pump, because you're going to be here for a while.
But I don't want Microsoft's entire E3 to be about, look at these gadgets and nifty things that we've got to show you. I want them to remember that it was gaming first.
Yeah, yeah.
I want them to be able to come out and tell me, okay, this is what what would be great for Microsoft? If they showed me something more than Call of Duty and whatever Rockstar is coming out with next, and showed me something that was actually coming from the house that Microsoft built. Show me a first-party game. Show me something exclusive. show me something that I'm going to get excited for that I know will only come from them, and I don't think they have that anymore, and that's sad.
Yeah, on this list of games that are going to be at E3, there are two Microsoft games. Forza 4 and Gears of War 3.
See?
Everything else is third party.
And really, I mean, Gears of War, I guess. I mean, yeah, it's exclusive to them, but that's not a Microsoft first party. That's Epic. And
yeah.
While Gears of War is exclusive to them, that what am I trying to think of? The graphics that comprise Gears of War sure as hell aren't exclusive to them because they sell that to everybody.
Oh yeah, exactly. I think the only thing that'll probably be exclusive to Microsoft is that Kingdom game. But Microsoft, they're notorious for going out. I mean, just look at them. I mean, look at what they did for Epic. Look at what they did for what other houses they go to. I mean, you know, they did. Microsoft has never really made in-house games, and when they did, it really hasn't been too good of an experience. I mean, look at the Banjo-Kazooie game. Look at Perfect Dark Zero. I mean, Microsoft. That's kind of like their greatest, I guess, their greatest handbag, but they're right, exactly, because of the fact that they don't own this stuff. So like when these companies get big and they go bye-bye Birdie, like Bungie and like Epic is going to do, because they're going to do it when they get when they get enough money out of the Microsoft money train, Microsoft needs to start doing what they're doing with 343. Oh yeah, and speaking of 343, we didn't even mention the Halo remake. I mean, honestly, dude, like that's all Microsoft needs is to drop a Halo game. You know, like if they remake Halo 1 and put Halo 2 in there, or not even that, they can just remake Part 1 with new graphics and new assets and everything. I think that's very, very smart. But they need to do more of that. They need to redesign Rare, you know, in that house. Go get some other developer that's up and coming that they can kind of control right now and kind of bend, you know, and make quality games. Focus on 343. Make the next Halos, and that's all they need is just three houses that can push out Microsoft-only games that will stay there with Microsoft because they're owned by Microsoft. You know, just like Sony has, you know, relationships with Square Enix and stuff like that. And, I mean, those bonds will never break because, you know, I mean, it's the culture. It's Japanese culture. But, you know, Microsoft needs to take what Nintendo and Sony is doing and step up to the plate and start making in-house software that nobody else has. Because if they don't, they're gonna get those reoccurring factors where Bizarre Creations, they grab a name for themselves. Because honestly, I didn't know about Bizarre Creations before, you know, Project Gotham came out on the original Xbox. But they got enough money, they grew up and they left, you know, left the house. Same way with Bungie, they grew up, they left the house, you know. So Microsoft, they were pretty smart when they picked up 343 and they grabbed a bunch of the Halo guys, the Bungie guys that loved Halo. And kind of make that, you know, that house, but do more of that.
And I mean, never be scared to take the Sony took the lazy way out in terms of they made Sly Cooper for the PlayStation 3, the package of all of the PlayStation 2 games, and they put it on the PlayStation 3, and it sold. They did the same thing for God of War and Ratchet and Clank. Microsoft can do the same thing. I mean, It will be smaller. I mean, they could do the Halo one. That'll be huge, sure. Halo 1 and 2, put that on there with all the maps and everything and make the maps updated HD and make it for Xbox Live. And that would sell like crazy, like you said. And then do one maybe for Forza and for Amped. But just reestablish themselves as, hey, we had these games a long time ago. You know, hey, you may not think it, but back in the day, your dad used to be able to dunk on everybody. You know, bring out – it's like that sort of conversation. No, you didn't, Microsoft. You never made games. Check this out. And then they just pull out the old games and get those sales and get that hype and get people excited for that. And then, you know, start putting out sequels to those games. But right now, just one. Just show me one game that they're doing. And I'll be over the moon. Like, okay, they still think they can do it. They're not just – right now, all they are is a console that's pushing out other people's stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But they went on record and said that they don't want to really necessarily do like just rehashes with HD. Like, I think that's a good idea, but that takes time to look how much time it took, you know, the CE remake. We just heard about it, but I'm pretty sure 343 had been working on that game ever since 343 was banded together, you know, because they knew that this 10-year anniversary was coming up and they had to do something for Halo specifically. Because they're adding, you know, they're basically, you know, rehashing the game. Like, they're remaking it. Like, when it says remake, it's not just putting glossy HD graphics and putting it in 16:9. They're actually putting brand new art assets in, changing, you know, how the world looks, everything, and actually remaking our engine. If the library will be there, that is has to be seen. That is has to be seen. But, you know, but I think that's why it takes them so long to do something like this, because Microsoft can say they don't really want to do HD hashovers. They want to do whole remakes, and that takes a lot longer. But I feel you. I mean, they should be making stuff in house, and they should be doing it, you know, with people. But just creating Microsoft titles. Hello, you guys there?
Yep, I was thinking in my mind going, and then you came back, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of were Skyping out, or I don't know.
Oh, man.
I want to say one thing about Microsoft real quick.
Go ahead.
You know, with Sony and Nintendo, you know, we know a lot going into it. But Microsoft, we know very little. So right now, you know, Microsoft is quote-unquote losing E3 this year. But they also have the ability to surprise us the most. They have the ability to really bring it home, you know, to quote unquote win E3.
I mean, I've been saying that for months.
I wonder if they get a bonus for winning E3.
Man, like, I just hope that they all perform well, because when we talk about this winning and losing thing, I mean, the people that actually win whenever they win, winning,
are the fans.
Are the people who play games, are the people who like this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, we all win when they do well. So, you know.
Except for our wives, if you don't approve of us playing video games, at which point, sorry. Because that new Zelda's coming eventually, I'm telling you. And when Nintendo finally actually comes through with that, feed Jake.
Okay, speaking of Nintendo and, like, me being the biggest Zelda fanboy, I don't know if it's just me growing up, or I don't know if it's because of Nintendo's lack of innovation, or like it feels like Zelda, not only Zelda but just most of these franchises, with the exception of Metroid Prime and then everything after that, it doesn't feel like these franchises have even taken any type of shape or change since kind of a Link to the Past. Link to the Past, Ocarina of Time. It felt like when they got to Ocarina of Time, it feels like everything after Ocarina of Time had just been a redefining of what Ocarina of Time did. Like, there's nothing new that they've really done that's been a drastic change from the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And there hasn't.
I mean, maybe maybe Wind Waker with the art style. But as far as the gameplay, I really haven't felt the same way I felt when I picked up Ocarina of Time when I played it on 64.
Well, the biggest breakaway that they ever did was Majora's Mask. And
right.
That was, to me, their best offering, because it was different. But they haven't changed anything. And the reason why they haven't changed is because people keep buying it. Why? I mean,
it's not broke. Don't fix it.
Basically, it's a Call of Duty motto. You know, if people are gonna keep buying it, I'm gonna keep putting it out there. It's easy. But yeah, I'm the Skyward Sword. I'm looking forward to it because, like you said, I'm a huge Legend of Zelda fan. I've played every one that they've had for the Game Boy Advance and DS and all the way through the whole rank. So. I would, honestly, what would be interesting to me, and they will never do it. I mean, Microsoft would do this before Nintendo would do this. That's how much they would never do it. But make another one like Legend of Zelda Part 2. Make a side-scrolling action-type game. Mm. I just want to, like, even if they make it for the virtual console, I just want them to shake it up that much. That would be a huge change to me. Yeah, the art style for Wind Waker was different, but then the gameplay was the exact same. And then the next three games that came out on, what, the DS had that same art style. So now it's no longer different.
Yeah.
But doing Legend of Zelda 2 again, that gets a thumbs up.
Okay, so
it would never happen, but
because the game that you're talking about, that's the game that came in the gold box, right?
No. Well,
that was the one in the gold box, right? I believe.
No,
it. I'm not.
Yes,
sure.
yes, it was,
because that was the side scrolling one.
Yeah,
that game was the biggest point of contention with gamers. You either loved that Zelda game or you hated it.
I know.
I was the one of the people that loved it, but I don't know. I think that'll be perfect on like as a WiiWare title or whatever. But I guess the biggest thing is adapting most of these games to the new console they're talking about. And I'm pretty sure William wanted to get into this, so I'll let him have the floor.
Okay. I honestly am. You know, I kind of given up on Nintendo. I mean, as far as, you know, I they just don't put anything out that interests me. Not that I'm, you know, not that they aren't putting out good stuff. It's just I'm really not interested. I'm happy with Microsoft and Sony, but the new console, this is gonna, you know, I'm definitely gonna watch the press conference and see what they have to say about this new console, because they're toting it to be, you know, the you know, as powerful or even rumors of being more powerful than the PS3 and the 360. And I mean, and people are like, how are they going to do that? And it'd be, you know, it'd come out at a good price. Well, the technology in the 360 and PS3 are,
it's
not
old,
you know. Yeah, it's old. It's not, you know, groundbreaking now. So, I mean, they could come out with, you know, a console that's as powerful as the PS3, you know, for like, you know, $250, you know, or, you know, as powerful as the 360 for $250 easily. I mean, what all the gimmicks that's going to be with Nintendo, because Nintendo loves their gimmicks. I mean, whether or not, you know, whether it's going to be some kind of new motion control, or it's going to be the crazy controllers with the 6-inch touchscreen that, you know, you can watch Netflix on and all this and that. I mean, I don't know. I'm definitely interested to see what they're going to do with this new console. But I really don't think it'll be something I'll be interested in, honestly.
Yeah, I'm kind of like a pass on it. Go ahead, Stuart.
Here are the rumors that I heard back when, like, you know, the console was announced, even before we knew, you know, Project Cafe, you know, before we knew that name, that this was going to be no motion control, and that, you know, they realized that the Wii was such, you know, a non-hardcore console that they're going to make this the, you know, whatever the name Project Cafe is, you know, they're going to make that towards the hardcore. So they're going to actually have a dedicated wired or wireless controller with no motion. And they're going to be coming out with, you know, actual games and not just mini game collection for mini game collection that the Wii did.
I don't believe them.
What developers would want to take a risk and really, you know, spend the time and resources
to
develop? I mean, no one's going to be like, oh, Project Cafe, let's play, you know, let's play Call of Duty on Project Cafe. Or whatever the name, you know, whatever the name's going
to
be.
Right, exactly. Because, I mean, because you got to imagine this console is going to be $299. Even if it's $250, the people who play Call of Duty already have a PS3 or 360. So do you think that they're going to, well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, do you think at this point, I mean, it's been 5-6 years since PS3 and 360 has been out. You know, do you think that there's a customer out there that doesn't have either system that wants to play Call of Duty that will just pop up and just buy the Wii HD or Project Cafe or whatever and buy COD on that system?
No.
I don't think that customer
exists.
There will be parents who will
buy it for their kids who, you know, it's their first console or whatever, because they know Nintendo, you know, they're the family, and, you know, average parents, you know, don't know anything, but they do know the Nintendo brand is family, but it's not going to be, you know, huge proportions. It's not going to be people going out and buying this just to play Call of Duty or Madden like people do for, you know, the PS3 and the 360.
It's definitely going to be those people who, you know, who aren't into gaming, and this is going to be their step into gaming.
The way that I look at it is Nintendo at this point in time has firmly stated that they don't care about online gaming. I mean, they haven't came out and done press conferences about it, but they have Miyamoto say it, and then they show it and doing the stupid friend codes and things of that nature. So when they come out with this next console, they're already at a disadvantage, because the first thing that goes through my mind is Nintendo doesn't do online.
Yep.
Even if they do online, you know, it's just they give off that vibe.
It's a hassle to get on. Have you ever tried to use your friend code and get online?
Nope. You know what? I don't even want to. Seriously, it's like I have games that I know do it, and sometimes I feel like I don't have a partner, and sometimes I feel like my only friend are the people I game with, the people of online, and I look at that friend code and I say, fuck it.
Preach on.
I really, really hate the friend code, and I associate the friend code with Nintendo, and so I really just don't think that they will ever have anything that appeals to me as a gamer, as an online gamer, and that's something that they'll have to deal with for the rest of my days. But
well,
for me,
think that there could be something that's, you know, not online that might interest you?
Not only that,
no,
I don't feel like Nintendo will ever have something that isn't made first party that will appeal to me.
I will agree with that one.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's the mistakes that they've made over the years. I just don't trust them to ever actively endorse a third party game that isn't shovelware.
I mean, they're backstepping. They came out, you know, when the Wii, they came out and said, you know, the market, they don't want, you know, people
don't care.
Gamers don't
care about HD.
Gamers don't care about HD. Gamers don't care about online. Gamers, you know, all this and that. And now they're saying, oh, well, you know, oh, it's going to be HD, and it's going to, you know, we're going to have, you know, it's going to be online and all this and that. And so, I mean, really, I don't know. I just associate Nintendo as casual, and I don't think I'll ever really be able to associate them as hardcore. I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll bring something out, and I'll, you know, that'll definitely change my mind, but I just don't see Nintendo as a console for me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because my Nintendo Wii, I mean, it sits in the corner and it's a Netflix box. It's just a secondary non-HD Netflix box, so when guests come over, or when my wife is having her ladies' night or whatever, if I'm in the man cave, you know, go in there and watch, you know, the secondary console in the back room and have the time of your life or whatever, because I'm in here playing my PS3 and my 360. And I'm not going to lie, I am a little bit of a bitter gamer, because, you know, I think about the hardcore and I think of the showing that Nintendo has showed us over the last 4 years. We got a couple of Metroid games, which are okay. We got a Donkey Kong game, which I don't know.
Really, man, let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's kind of like meh, you know. You know, like, there's been nothing else. And then for them to kind of give us a slap in the face and say gamers don't care about HD, and then for them to kind of grovel back and say, okay, now we're making HD and we want you guys back. You know, like, we supported you guys, if you remember correctly, when you had that, you know, horrible financial – you know, console like the GameCube, we carried you guys on our backs. I mean, I played Smash Brothers and, you know, and Resident Evil 0 and Resident Evil 4 for years on that console, and I supported them. And then, like, to kind of go through all this time period, it's like, do they even know how to make games for me anymore? Like, if they have this Wii HD console, do they know how to even create, you know, first party titles that appeal to me anymore, because we've seen Metroid Other M, meh. You know, we've seen Donkey Kong, like I said, that's kind of meh. So
GoldenEye.
Yeah, I mean, so what do they really have that appeals to me anymore? And I don't think that Nintendo even knows how to make games at that point for me anymore. And that's that's kind of the biggest question mark.
Yeah, let me just quickly say this, and then I'll be done with the Nintendo. They lost me when the project when the Revolution turned to the Nintendo Wii. Because everything,
I would have liked it to stay Dolphin.
Well, everything they toted about the Revolution, you know, never really came to be. I mean, a couple things did, but the Revolution was supposed to be like it was supposed to be awesome and amazing, and then it turned into the Wii, you know, with Waggle. And that's where, I mean, honestly, I was excited when they were talking about the Revolution, and, you know, it's all the games, you know, every single Nintendo game will be backwards compatible and all this and that, and just, it just fell short, you know. It just turned into Wii with Waggle.
So, I mean, I know we've kind of hinted on the console, but just kind of, I guess, bring it back to the main console. What do you think the price point is going to be? Because they've, you know, all these different rumors swirling around about Nintendo, about it having 6-inch screens in the controllers, about it having multiple inputs. It is going to have HDMI, not going to have two HDMIs, but proprietary, non-proprietary.
Will it have Blu-ray?
Right. Like, so what do you think is going to actually pan out? And what do you think the console's price is going to be? Because we know that a price drop is coming from Sony and or Microsoft. It just depends on who's going to go first. So
it's going to start off at $250.
You think that they can afford that with all this different speculatory things out there swirling?
I think they can, because while Microsoft and Sony are going to drop their prices inevitably, Nintendo's going to say our system is new and it has HD. And what they're going to hope for is that people are dumb enough to forget that, you know, Microsoft and Sony already had HD support, and Nintendo's really just catching up and really just doing the 360 in a different format. So I think they'll try it at $250 because they're going to say they have to recop. I don't know how successful it's going to be, though.
Yeah. Because the only thing is because then they're kind of stuck in this odd out of cycle. Well, I won't say out of cycle because they're actually in cycle if they bring a console out right now. But as technology has progressed, it's become a little bit more slow because developers are trying to get more out of these machines and, you know, so on and so forth. So they're kind of in a weird space when Microsoft and Sony bring out the next console in 2014, 2013, 2015 or whatever. So, like, do you think that they're going to – because you can't raise the price up if you need more money. I just see it coming out at $299 because of the fact that, you know, if it has all this weird stuff in it like Blu-ray and, you know, 6-inch screens and the controllers, and not unless that stuff is sold separately and you can use your Wii controller or whatever to adapt to the system or whatever.
Can you actually see, I mean, in your mind, can you see Sony allowing another company to have Blu-ray on their video game system?
Yeah, because they get paid.
Well, then, in that case, can you see someone else actively putting Blu-ray on their console?
Well, I think they're going to have to.
Yeah, because what's their other choice? I mean, DVD, which...
HD seeing... DVD! It will never die!
Wow. But,
Send back my son!
We're seeing Microsoft's having problems with, you know, the regular DVDs. I mean, look at a game like L.A. Noire. That's on three discs.
Yeah, and then Microsoft is doing the this new disc format, which is causing, you know, Xboxes to fail. And please let mine fail. Please let mine fail. I wish mine failed.
But sadly, man, I walked up behind mine a few days ago and tried to slit its throat.
But yeah, I mean, they're making this new disc format, you know, because they realize that the market is going. And despite what Microsoft has come out with, I think that disc format will have more than a gig because there's speculatory things about what they can do with one DVD disc and stuff and everything. Even what they can do with one Blu-ray disc, you know, they've even, you know, had different things where they can do more than just 25 gigs on one side of a Blu-ray disc. So, but I think that these console manufacturers have to go Blu-ray. Like, the only way that they don't if by some magical happenstance Microsoft just successfully makes a new disc format where they can have games on it, where developers
buy HD DVD.
Oh yeah, exactly. Or where developers can feel comfortable on making stuff for their console because now they have the space in the room to do so, and Microsoft is not necessarily on, I guess, the movie bandwagon, but they would still have to have the system. Well, the system will still have to be able to play Blu-ray. So it kind of takes me back to why not go ahead and do Blu-ray. I mean, sure, you got to eat that cost and give your competitor that money, but I'm pretty sure, you know, Sony will be the same way with their handout as far as Xbox Live technology, in some fashion or form with motion control technology, or either with the Skype stuff, you know. So, you know, they need to just swallow their pride, swallow that horse pill, and go ahead and do it, and just be done with it. I think Nintendo needs to do the same thing.
Yeah, no.
Okay, that is what needs to happen, but that's not what's going
exactly.
It'll be on the DVD. It'll be on the DVD.
Bro, we'd only have one console. In the real world?
That wouldn't be a perfect world, though.
No.
That would be a dictatorship. That'd be terrible. Any world.
My big question is, will the new Nintendo, you know, Wii 2 or whatever, will it be able to at least play a DVD?
Amen to that, brother.
You know what? That's all I need to see at E3. Just pull out the new Wii and put a DVD into it, and then just play the Handel's Hallelujah Chorus. That's all I ask for. You know, I'm pretty easy. You know, show me that your console isn't like 16 steps behind. Matter of fact, this is how it should work out. They walk into E3 and they pull out a cartridge. And then Reggie's like, nah, I'm just messing with you. And they pop in a DVD. That would rock.
That would be funny.
They play Whoop, There It Is, where he says, I'm taking it back to the old school because I'm an old fool. And they pull out the DVD, they pull out the cartridge, and they blow in it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, okay, think about it this way. If, you know, going back to cartridges, if it doesn't work, you blow on it and poof, it works. If a disc doesn't work, you're screwed. You got to get a new one because it's ruined.
Yeah.
So why not go back to cartridges?
No,
because people would kill you.
Yeah. Because cartridges get chipped, and you're pretty much that's a done deal within itself.
Well, I mean, it's
I still haven't gotten past the fact that my Final Fantasy game's battery ran out in the cartridge. When somebody told me that there was a battery inside that cartridge, I was like, "You're messing with me."
That's sad that I remember that.
That battery died, and I haven't been able to save a game on it since.
Crazy.
Final Fantasy 2.
So what about the games? I mean, we haven't really heard anything from Nintendo. I mean, everybody's excited about this console. Do you think they will see any Wii HD or Wii 2 games or Project Cafe games that shows off what this system can actually do graphically? Since they are touting that is more powerful than PS3 and 360?
I think they'll announce supporters. Like, you know, we have EA and Activision and whoever else, you know, working on titles that you're familiar with or whatever and stuff like that. I think we'll see something like that, but as far as specific, no, unless it's like a Mario.
Yeah, we'll see Mario, Zelda, and we'll see them, but not in-game cinematics. We'll see, you know, really high done, out-of-game stuff.
Yeah.
And then you'll hear a bunch of lies, you know, how they got EA has already signed up with us for 4 games and Ubisoft's going to sign on for 5 games and we got support from Afkabambada and the Zulu Nation. Start naming things, you know, just throwing things out there, but
yeah,
not going to see anything. Right now, as bad as it sounds, they're not fully focused on the Wii 2 or Project Cafe. They're focused on getting the 3DS where it's supposed to be as far as sales.
Yeah. And that's where it could hurt them. I mean, you know, if the 3DS doesn't pick up and if this doesn't pick up, you know, that's 2 major losses.
Yeah. You see, that's like my biggest question, too.
Honestly, I think that they spread themselves too thin by putting the 3DS out right before E3 started. because they have to talk about the 3DS, and it's not selling like they thought it would. They expected it to instantly sell like hotcakes, and of course it's not. So now they have to backtrack and figure out ways to boost that sale, which takes them away from, and you know, it's that circle. So
yeah, they're turning into Sega.
And by the way, I forgot to mention it, but jumping back to Xbox Arcade and also PlayStation Network, either or, whichever one of you two is the first one to bring Power Stone 2 onto your arcade network.
Oh my God.
I pledge allegiance to you. I will bow. I will kiss the ring. I'll go to Kevin Butler's house. I will live tweet. I will do whatever you want. Just get me that game.
Yes.
Going back to Nintendo, here's what I see happening to Nintendo in 5 years. Here's a 5-year prediction. They are going to go the way of Sega and go, you know, to software only, and you know maybe have mobile hardware, but that's it. You know, they're not going to have a home console. That, you know, we'll see Mario on the 360. We'll see it. All right, well, not on the 360 by then, but we'll see it on the Xbox. We'll see it on PlayStation.
So what you're saying is that in about 5 years, we're going to see Mario versus Sonic versus Master Chief at the Olympics?
Yep.
God, what a world.
Yeah. I mean, that'll be
Ratchet
cool.
Ratchet and Clank and Kirby. Yeah.
Where's a Spyro for Sony, you know?
Oh, God.
Sonic,
apparently,
Mario,
on my son's TV, I hate that game.
I think that'll be cool, but I don't think that's going to happen in 5 years. I think Nintendo will continue to be Nintendo, and I think they'll continue to be trendsetters in their own mind, whether it be casual, whether it be hardcore or whatever. Because, I mean, gamers, you know, most of the time we have the memory of a goldfish. Like, I mean, we'll probably wind up saying this and that about it. But if they make those classic franchises and they do something different with it, just a small quib different, like with Zelda or Metroid or something, we'll be right there buying the console to play that one game, just like the GameCube, playing Resident Evil Zero and Eternal Darkness and, you know, all those other old GameCube games. We'll be sitting right there playing those games until they bring out the next console, you know, so... I don't know.
You have a point. It's not that far back that people were saying the Virtual Boy was going to be the death of Nintendo.
You're right, right.
And they bounced back. I mean, the Wii sold for reasons that, honestly, I can't understand.
Even they don't understand it.
They don't. It was a flash
they
in the pan.
They think they do.
That was the Wii... was the equivalent of a one-hit wonder.
Tickle me, Elmo.
And exactly. And yeah. And that'll never happen again. So now what they need to do is find a way to focus back on their hardcore gamers. Casual gamers, I mean, you want to continue to support them, but that's a dream. You know, because casual gamers, the thing about casual gamers are, they're casual. The thing about the definition of casual gamer is sometimes they game and sometimes they don't.
Mostly
hardcore
don't.
Hardcore gamer is all the damn time gaming. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a casual gamer, they'll stick with their iPhone and their portable games. But I think that this next system that Nintendo does, the first thing they need to put out, the first thing, is a Mario game.
Yeah.
Stop with this. It's coming down the line. First, we're going to show you all these cutesy-wootsy Nintendo things. Forget that. The first thing you do, here's their lineup. The first 5 games they should put out. And again, as I say on my show, Single Simulcast, this is only my opinion. First thing they should put out is a Mario game. Second thing they should put out is a Smash Brothers game. Third thing they should put out is a Zelda game. Fourth thing they should put out is Kid Icarus game. Fifth thing they should put out is Metroid. Now, once you have all 5 of those heavy hitters out there that are just murking everything else, and all the fanboys and all the hardcore fanboys from Nintendo are geeking out, then you start trying out new stuff. Right. Establish yourself first with those heavy hitters as your base, and then build upon that. I don't want a feeble base of carnival games. You know, I don't want Wii Sports as fun for reasons that I can't explain. You know how many times I heard that? Why is this game fun? I'm not really sure. Actually, I saw one of my friends throw their remote through the TV playing it, so now I'm not allowed to play it in my house. But try it out. So, I'm just saying, they fall away to cater to the casual. Now cater to the hardcore and leave the casual behind, and I'll be satisfied.
See, that's exactly what I heard that they're going to do. But I want to see it, and then I'll believe it.
Mm-hmm. But is it too late? I mean, is the hardcore already, you know, ingrained with the 360 and, you know, the PS3 with, you know, achievements and party chat and trophies and all the stuff that, you know, we can't live without? I mean,
hell, let's be serious. They lost the hardcore when they refused to do online. That's the first thing they need to do. That's the first thing they need to do to get the hardcore in there is show their online. Show them logging on and talking with somebody without a friend code. Show them talking with somebody. Show that they're a grown-up system, because the only people I know who play online on the Wii are kids who get caught cussing on Call of Duty, and so their parents restrict them to games where they can't chat.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that's the reason. Well, I mean, not even just for that reason. Because just like we were talking about at the top of the show, when I talked about how like Sony was kind of forced into the online space, we got to realize that it's, you know, not to be, I guess, talking from an ignorant American standpoint, but I've studied the culture very extensively. The Japanese culture is not a social one. I mean, you have in Japan where you can go buy girls' panties out of a turn machine.
Used, you know, panties.
Yeah, I mean, so used. you have a call service where you go to set up a date service with a person that you've already met before, and you don't meet them in person. Like, they're not a social culture just by the way they are. So to make them believe in online play is a very hard task to do. And the attitude that they have towards American developers that come over there and try to change their system is, okay, no, you sit here and you develop games and you give us updates on what USA is doing, but that's all you do. You're just a talking head, and that's it. And we make the games because we started this, and we know what we're doing, and that's it. And that's the reason why you have what you have today. And I don't think that you'll get the adaptation of online and, you know, all the different social things like chatting and everything else, because I don't think they even want to go there.
Nope, they don't want to, but will they have to? And the big question is, if they do, will they get party chat before Sony does? I joke, but I kind of cry at the inside a little. I mean, I do joke, but that's scary, because if they show something like that at E3 and Sony doesn't, that's a scary thought.
You look at look at Japan. You know, everybody is close together, so chances are the people you're going to want to game with live within walking distance, so you don't have to chat. But you look at America and the UK, we're all spread out, you know. So we have to have that kind of system to interact.
Look at us; we're all spread out across the United States. I mean,
exactly.
We're everywhere you want to be. Call us Visa. But I mean, it's a bigger question than, you know, if they'll get it done before Sony, because all signs point to yes. Is can they? You know, has it become a situation where Nintendo, and I think about this sometimes, you know, I tell my friends that I can run up a wall. And if they, you know, if I tell them enough times, finally one of them will turn around and say, show me. And then I'll be like, nah, not right now, maybe later. Because I can't do it. And their standpoint is, you know, we can do online gaming with chatting. We just don't want to. And they've been saying that for what? Two systems now?
Yeah.
We can do it whenever we want. We just don't want to. Somebody just says, you know what, prove it. And they freeze up. I don't think they have the capability at this point in time to do it the way they really want to do it.
Look at the vitality sensor.
What? Make me feel so
the what? What are you talking about?
All right. Well, that's it for me. I think we've beat this dead horse. It's now a bloody pulp.
To the ground, really check its pulse on its vitality sensor.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, we got the other press conferences, like what Ubisoft and what are the others? EA and Konami.
Konami is like Wednesday.
All I want to do is go to Konami's Thursday press conference. That's it. If I can sit back and watch that, I will be a happy man.
You know what?
If it's better than last year, I will
find a viewing party near you, because they're having them all over the U.S.
All I want to see is 1 million troops. That's all I want to see. and that's messed us. Oh yes.
You know what I want. I'm easy. And is this the point where we start closing out and saying what we're actually looking for at E3, even though it will never happen?
I want
the Warriors. I want Rockstar to remake the Warriors for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. I am. Just come out and say, you know, the Warriors that we did was such a spectacular game, and we felt that it didn't get the love it deserved, so we're going to do it again. And I'll geek out. That's it. And maybe, you know, make me a sandwich.
Well, I would honestly like to see PSN just completely adapt to Steam. I want party chat, cross game chat, whatever you want to call it, integrated into the system. Let me buy games on Steam. Let me download everything and force Microsoft's hand to lower the price of Xbox Live. Mm-hmm. Just force their hand and go ahead and do it. I would like to see. I know this is far fetched, but I would like to see holograms from the Kinect in some type of way. I want to sit in my living room and I want to have a conversation with Obi-Wan Kenobi before I go on my missions. I want to just sit down and chill and talk to the man.
You know what? You win. I just wanted to see Can You Dig It, suckers, and you got like Obi-Wan Kenobi and. I'm going home.
Well, for me, I want to see two things. Well, more than two things, but I want to see something about Kingdom Hearts 3, a full-fledged Kingdom Hearts
game. Yeah.
No portable, you know, NGP or, you know, 3DS or Wii or whatever. I want to see either PS3 exclusive or PS3 and 360 Kingdom Hearts 3, because it's been way too long. And if they can't provide that, I want to see 1 and 2 redone in HD, priced at $40, like the God of War collection.
Yes, sir. You know what I want to see? I actually want to see Last Guardian. Like, I want to see what they're doing with that game, because we haven't heard too much on it. I want to see Last Guardian.
Isn't that Owls?
No.
No.
That's the, what is it called?
I don't know, but Stuart's thinking of something else.
Last Guardian is like the, it's a part of the Ico and the Shadow of the Colossus series.
Oh, okay.
You know, with the big bird dog or whatever.
Okay.
He has feathers like an owl.
And also, I would love to see, like, Sony, you know, they're TVs. They have TVs that are partnering with Google TV. I'd love to see the PS3 become Google TV capable. You know, make it, you know, give us a lot more web access on our, you know, PS3s. And don't make it where you have to rely on signing into the network to use. Because if the network goes down, I want to be able to use it. but, I mean.
And then stemming from that, the PlayStation can be the next Android device, right?
I guess. I really wasn't going to tell people
that they're the next Android, and I'll let people build upon it. And then, whoops, the next iteration that comes out takes all that away. And then they'll say that they have backwards compatibility for their old phone. Whoops!
Yeah, just the whole Google TV, that's been a rumor for a while. I mean, because Sony and Google have already partnered, like I said, with Sony's TVs. They already have the partnership there, so why not bring it to the PS3? That doesn't seem too far-fetched, but I don't think it'll happen.
Yeah. Know what I would like, though, that I know that it probably never happened?
A Kill Bill Volume 3.
Actually, you know what? They actually could do that if they brought back Vivica Fox little
Her daughter.
Yeah, her daughter. They could do that.
I wasn't the only person who thought like that.
I'm telling you. But yeah, I would like to see Microsoft venture into the handheld market. I don't think it'll ever happen because they're so much behind Windows Phone 7.
Oh, definitely. I could see them doing like a the way iPod and iPhone. You know, I could see a like maybe a Windows Phone 7 like MP3 player type thing that does the Xbox Live and. Because I mean,
it isn't like the Zune is taking off, so they may as well go and
crashed and burned.
All my Zune listeners on single simulcast, I meant that. but it's not like it's, you know, it's possible that they could be working on it. They have, if there's one company who their owner could wake up tomorrow and say, I want this. And just have limited cash upon cash to make it happen.
Right.
It's Microsoft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now,
will it happen? And not unless a starving child in Botswana says he wants to make it so. But, you know, it could be done.
And let's be real. Windows Phone 7 isn't doing anything fantastic itself. I mean, Microsoft's making more money on HTC selling phones, you know.
Xbox, other than the 360, everything that Microsoft has done in regards to video games, let's as we say in my neighborhood, let's keep 100. Everything that Microsoft has done outside of the 360 that pertains to video games has been a fail. I mean, other than really
games for Windows Live fail.
Yeah, I mean, other than the 360, and that happened because PlayStation took too long, and then their pricing was outrageous. Everything else has just been like epic total humiliation.
Yeah. What I'd love to see is, since, you know, Fable 3 is coming to Steam or is on Steam, I'm not sure if it is or not yet. I'd love to see the Games for Windows Live collection for like, you know, $99.99 on Steam. Like everything from Games for Windows Live.
I could see that happening.
That'd be funny.
Yeah,
because no one's buying that stuff, you know.
Exactly.
Anyway, like, I want Peter Molyneux to walk out on stage and sell me something new.
We should have a game night for Shadowrun. How many people play?
But you know what? With like
DJ's ear just perked up there.
I know, right? But like, I mean, somebody like Peter Molyneux, he could come out and sell you Shadowrun. In a heartbeat.
Yeah, but he'd lie about it.
If you take the player, you can feel the emotion if you walk through the wall. All you have to do is press the A button. See, the A button is critical to the gameplay.
See, with the new Shadowrun that we've created...
And don't forget about the dog.
The Kinect scans your body and actually puts you in, yes, like virtual reality, but better because you have a dog.
Oh God! What was that creepy kid?
Milo.
God! Every time someone mentions Peter Molyneux, I just think of that creepy little kid.
Gonna help me finish my homework.
Are we ever gonna see Milo again? Ever?
No. Only if he's a dog.
Look at this! I drew a fish.
Milo. The Milo technology is what spawned the Kinectimals.
Yeah. And
because a lot of people were saying it's a pedophile game, so that's where the other so let's change them to animals, and that's where that went.
Yeah,
that's what happened there. We will never see Milo.
So it went from pedophilia to bestiality. There you go.
So you're saying that Milo's game was initially supposed to be the Michael Jackson Experience, and I'm out.
Oh, that's so wrong.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Wow. But that's all for me. I can't really think of anything else to really go on. because there's just not much known. I mean, honestly, there's not much known about a lot of the, you know, stuff for E3.
They're pretty good at keeping it under wraps. You know, I mean, despite the whole leak with the Call of Duty trailer last week, I am curious to I mean, you know, on a serious note, I am curious to see what they're going to do about the Resident Evil Raccoon City. I'm curious about that. I'm curious about Metal Gear Solid Rising. I'm curious about the Lara Croft game that I was telling you guys before the podcast, where she's supposed to be like, I think, 16 or 17.
Yeah, that looks nice.
Yeah, that's going to look
realistically proportioned.
Right.
Yes. She's no longer falling off cliffs based on her bot. Well, I can't pull myself up.
Yeah. And I am curious about the Super Mario 3D, you know, with the little raccoon tail at the end of the logo. I'm kind of curious about that, even though I don't have any desire to have a 3DS. I'm just still kind of curious about that whole thing. And I am curious about the Ghost Recon Future Soldier, because I'm still holding on to my Splinter Cell Conviction, not because of the beta code, but because it does have the beta code in it, and because Splinter Cell Conviction is a great game.
And you have to pay GameStop to take it. And then they'd sell it for like $20.
Yeah,
I am kind of looking forward to EA's press conference, because they're starting and ending with the game I want to see the most of.
What is that?
Mass Effect,
Star Wars, the old Mad Republic. 12.
Oh,
okay, yeah, that's right.
I was guessing that. Oh, wow.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'll allow that.
Old Republic. I
want to see a release date in that press conference.
It's supposed to be this year, isn't it?
Not anymore. I'm hearing next year.
Ooh.
I'm hearing you'll get it when it's done.
That's I'll take that. I'm, you know,
pulling a valve.
I'm used to that with MMOs.
I know that we kind of got off sports in the beginning. But what do you guys think EA is going to do about their basketball franchise? Do you think they're going to go back to that? No, seriously, they had time to admit to their failure. They're taking time off. You think they're going to come back, you know, with a vengeance with NBA Elite? And do you think?
So yeah, a new Madden's coming out this year.
that NBA Elite that was just a culmination of like 4 to 5 bad years altogether.
Yeah.
And I think that they should have taken that as a sign to just let it go. They should have let it go a long time ago, back in like 2007, when they had the idea to let you remake the draft. That was their big thing in 2007. You could redo the draft. Yeah. And they put their own characters, made up characters in the draft, and rated them better than the actual NBA players. That was the first step. But the NBA Elite getting caught on video with the Jesus Christ pose and all of that, there's no coming back from that. Whenever I look at that, I'm just going to picture that guy saying, "What the fuck?" You know, so let it go. Stick with Madden. Stick with NCAA football. Right now, they're killing people in football. That's their thing, you know.
Well, they're killing it because there's no competition.
Yeah, but they're still killing mm-hmm. people.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm playing my 4-year-old cousin in Call of Duty and I'm killing him over and over again, yeah, he might be 4, but I'm killing him. And that's just the way it works. It's over. It's over. They let go of baseball for the same reasons. You know, just basketball, they had a good run. Bulls versus Blazers, Lakers versus Celtics, all the way up. They had a great run. But it's over. Give it to 2K and let them have it.
Yeah. And I just thought of one more crazy prediction.
Parachute man.
No. Microsoft giving us a web browser on the 360.
I would never see that happen, but
I would love it.
I could see it. But they're going to say the reason why it would never happen, they're going to mention Sony. Having the web browser, they're going to say it's going to open them up to viruses, which then will open mm-hmm. them up to hacking.
Yep.
Yeah, but we all know it's not true. I mean, just having a web browser is not going to open you up to anything, because you can block out any type of, you know, obscure pop-ups and stuff like that. I mean, that's
easily done. But the guy who uses his PlayStation 3 as his well, let's just say that the site that I'm thinking of starts with a P and ends with Hub. You know, the guy who uses PlayStation 3 to access that, and then his PlayStation 3 lags out during a game, he probably thinks that could be. You know, my game wouldn't have lagged out if I hadn't been on this site. So,
yeah,
they could use that as an excuse. I'm getting pop-ups in the middle of a game talking about Russian wives, and they could use that. Viable reason, I guess.
And one more thing, I would love to see multitasking.
Yes.
Let me be able to tweet without having to, you know, exit out of a game or
exactly.
And mm-hmm. you know,
full Facebook and Twitter integration into the entire yes. system.
Let me click the dashboard button or the guide button and go to, you know, Twitter and tweet something and not have to exit out and load to Twitter and all this and that, because that takes time and hassle. And I mean, some people use Twitter and Facebook for their Xbox, and I'm like, really? Why? It's just exactly. a hassle. I mean,
I'm like, if I have my phone next to me and I have Xbox Live on, I will pause my game and go through the tedious 10-letter password that I have on my phone to put something on Twitter and then unpause my game. That's how little I think of Xbox Live's Twitter and Facebook. It's just I'm scared they're going to do the same thing with Skype.
Yeah, hopefully they're integrated better than what they're doing with Skype. And I think that they should, but I guess we'll see.
Sometimes, and it's only sometimes, and again, if you have comments or concerns, Rashani1 at yahoo.com, single simulcast the movement. Sometimes I think Microsoft purchases stuff and goes out like Tyler Durden in Fight Club. I just wanted to destroy something beautiful today. There's no other reason why Facebook and Twitter are as bad as they are on their system. They have people who their only job is social digital media managers, things of that nature. That's it. Make this as good as possible, but not too good. You know, we don't want people to like this too much because we didn't come up with it or something of that nature. That's what I really think that they think about these other things that they purchase. We have to kill this because we didn't come up with it. Or we need to integrate this, but not too deeply involved. And that sucks.
Yeah.
See, that happens a lot. I talk on other people's shows, and it ends with, like, awkward silences. Like, this dude is out of his frickin' gourd.
Oh, no. I would just try to give the floor to somebody else. But, but I mean, I understand what you mean by that, because Microsoft, they do a lot of proof of concepting stuff, but they never go through with it until they feel like they're, I guess until they're good and ready to do it, you know, like they always do that. Like all the stuff that they're doing now with the dashboard and the different squares and the monocles and the media center and everything, like they were talking about that and they were doing little small things with Xbox Live back on the original Xbox. They just never did bring it to the forefront until the second year of Xbox 360's life. So, you know, they only just move whenever they're good and ready to do something. And then they make, you know, I guess not fun of it, but they kind of make light of it when they first bring it out. Like Avatar Connect. I see Avatar Connect being integrated with Skype and with the Kinect and with the video chat. But I don't think that we'll see that this console gen. We'll probably see it 3 years or 2 years into the life of the next Xbox 720 or whatever.
It's supposedly already integrated into Facebook.
Supposedly.
Yeah. And I just thought of another one. Damn. I'm just thinking of crazy predictions. But I would just love to see, like, you know, you have Halo and Call of Duty now and all these games that can do theater, you know, game capturing, basically. You know, I'd love to see Microsoft just give us that option on, you know, whether it's paid, you know, a paid thing or what in the software front to capture footage on any game.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah.
Crazy prediction, I know, but, you know.
How, I mean, they're well integrated, but let's be honest. How often do you guys use that? Exactly. So, I think that that's something that if they do go forward with it, it's another one of those because we didn't think of it first sort of situations. What I think would be a crazy prediction for them that would be absolutely awesome is if we found out that Vince McMahon was actually the chairman of Microsoft and he was taking over. That's a crazy prediction. Everything that you're saying right now may come to fruition. That's the cool thing about E3 is we get all of these expectations and sometimes we get heartbroken and sometimes it comes true. But I just want to come away from E3 saying each group really did their thing and I'm excited to be a gamer. Yeah. That's my crazy prediction, that I come away from this fully satiated.
Well put.
All I have to say is Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, just let your soul glow. Just let it shine through. That's
wow.
All.
Just let your soul glow. And if any of you actually will drop the microphone after you get done talking, I will give you bonus points in my final review of your story. The boy's good. That Kevin Butler, he's good.
He's good.
Oh,
alrighty.
Man.
No other predictions?
I'm good.
Nope. My wife will dominate the computer as soon as I want to watch somebody's post game report on E3, and she has her own computer.
Alrighty. So I guess to close the show up, you know, no I recommend and no geek question of the week. Didn't really see any feedback in the chat as far as predictions. Did any of y'all, I mean, Stuart, did you see anything?
Nope.
Okay. I put it out at the beginning, so it's not my fault. I guess, you know, we're the Geeks for the Win, part of the Open Forum Radio Network. Tons of awesome podcasts. You can, you know, all listed either on our site or at openforumradio.com. You can leave us tons of feedback. We appreciate feedback. Facebook and Twitter, just search The Geeks FTW. You can send us an email at thegeeksftw@gmail.com. You can leave a voice message at our voice line at 1-347-GEEK-FTW. That's 1-343-35-389. And, you know, iTunes reviews, it doesn't hurt. You know, we normally give shout outs for iTunes reviews, and I don't think we've had any new ones recently.
I did one.
Well, yes, you did, and we did give you a shout out.
I know. That was so awesome. I wasn't expecting it. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. That's me. Oh my God. It's all. Oh my God.
And, of course, if you want to hear bonus content, extras, behind the scenes stuff, our mistakes, and all that, you can listen, you stream normally, you know, either Monday or normally Mondays, but sometimes we have to record Tuesdays at 7:30 Central Standard, 8:30 Eastern. And also you can pick up our Android app, and I am working with the company who did our Android app to do an iPhone app. So for all you non-Android owners who have iPhones or iPod touches, will have an app soon. Can't say when because I have no clue, but I know it's in the works.
Cool.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So now it's time for shout outs. Henry, you go first.
Man, give a shout out to my wife for being so supportive because it is late. I got to get up in the morning. Shout out to everybody who listens to me at my job. Shout out to I don't know, man, just everybody in the community, man. Shout out to Rashani, our guest. Man, he came on, gave some good conversation, good sports talk in the beginning. Listened to a couple of your podcasts, single simulcast, let me get it right. It's funny stuff, man. If you haven't checked out his show, go check it out, man. I'm pretty sure he'll plug the rest of his stuff. But thank you for coming on. Shout out to both my co-hosts. Shout out to the writers at the Geeks for the Win. We've been rolling on our WAG segments, and that's We Are Geeks segments. Shout out to you guys for staying diligent on that. Man, just shout out to all the cross-pollinated community. Shout out to PGR, TAG, OFR, GGR. Shout out to Angry Mailman, Podcast, Scar, Chasm Live. And just everybody, man, just showing love and support, man, and just showing positive lights up on the Twitters and the Facebook Urses or Verses. Shout out to the world. I know that's what you're waiting on.
As always, Stuart, shout out.
Shout out to our guest, Roshani, for joining us. It was great. Shout out to Rat Riders, Cookie, Elf, Henry, Dark DJ. Shout out to my coworkers, because I'm going to be all alone tomorrow and I have no idea what I'm going to be doing. Because I'm new job. I'm still learning the ropes. Anyway,
you're a noob.
Yes, I am. shout out to Ace Black because he wanted one, and he was with us all night. Shout out to Nox's wife because she was also with us all night. Let's see who else joined us in chat.
Oh, SFX 360.
Yeah, SFX. Yeah. Yes. And that's it for me.
Alrighty. Roshani, shout out.
Really? Me? Okay. First and foremost, I'd like to thank y'all for having me on. I really appreciate it. Really, really appreciate it. I told somebody a while back that good conversation and good fun can make for a world of difference. And I think this was a great conversation. And I hope it shines through on the show. You can catch me at Single Simulcast, which is the show about everything. As you probably have heard from listening to this, I'm the man who thinks he has all the answers. and you can catch that at sfx-360.com. Also available at roshani.podbean.com. But the beautiful way to get it would be to go to iTunes, you know, because it's there for a reason. Also, shout out to the folks that I hang with at the Gamer's Garage, Crash, Pseudo, Ashton, Tommy Vegas, and me. Yeah, I'm the fifth one, the token. And I want to say thank you so much, fellas, for having me on. I've really enjoyed it. Shout out to Ace Black for laughing at some of my jokes that always pushed me forward. Asked my wife, she's like, why don't you guys stop encouraging him? Shout out to Nicole for keeping us updated on who was winning and who was losing. I knew the game wasn't going the right way when you were silent for like 20 minutes. But again, everybody be sure to leave reviews for this show and leave reviews for my show. I'm not saying that, you know, because I'm greedy and want to know what people think. I'm saying that because as a whole, we don't know what you guys think of the show, and while I don't care for the most part what people think of my show, I just want something to listen to while I'm at work. We want to know if something resonated with you. So if this resonated, if this echoed through the cockles, maybe even the subcockle region, maybe even the kidneys, hit them up on a review and let them know. But thank you again for having me on, fellas, and thanks for letting me talk without shutting me up. I appreciate every moment of the opportunity, and I'll check y'all out.
Well, no problem. Definitely. I would just say, not just our podcast, but any podcast, if you enjoy it, you know, just leave a review for them or send them an email or something, because, you know, we all do this for the most part. We do this for free, just as a hobby, and to, you know, provide content to other people to listen to. And so, you know, all we really ask for is just to leave us feedback so we know whether or not, like you said, whether or not people, we're reaching people, like, oh, I never really thought of, you know, Nintendo, you know, doing something like that or whatnot. I mean, just stuff like that. But definitely shout outs to you for coming on, Rashani. Shout outs to the writers, and I said this on Twitter, and starting on the 1st, which is tomorrow, I'm going to be writing at least one article a day on the site for the whole month of June. So that's my goal, and it's been public on Twitter, and now it's public on the podcast. So
you're screwed.
So if I slack off, then it's all my fault. But that's my little goal, to try to get the whole site, you know, restarted, because it has been kind of slow, and I'm not sure whether that's because there hasn't been much news or it's just, I don't know. I honestly don't know, but hopefully with E3 and all that coming up, there will be more news. But shout outs to Stuart and Henry, of course, for doing this week after week, and especially last week, Henry. I think we did a really good show last week, despite Stuart not being there.
Oh, yeah. I was screaming at my iPhone.
we had no mistakes, no problems, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Then we hit fine. Record. We hit record, and it went smooth. But yeah, we definitely missed having you, Stuart. Like a shout out to the Open Forum Radio community. It's definitely growing. I'm trying to keep track of all the different podcasts that are popping up. I know. There's two more that Matt just started or added or talked about that I never heard of.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I need to just, I don't know, my head would explode if I tried to figure out all the podcasts in the network, but
right.
And yeah. You know, finally shout out to the Miami Heat, because they beat
Dallas. Oh, can we please get through a shout out without saying that?
Thank you, LeBron, making, you know, come true and beating Nowitzki.
Thank you. Yeah,
that's all right. It's just game one. It's just game
Speaking
one.
Of, I'm sorry. I do have to say two more. I apologize.
Oh, go ahead.
Again, go to sfx-360.com to check out my show for one, and two. It's a great forum where gamers meet face to face. They have Thursday night gaming, where they play some old school, some new school. Last week they played Gears of War 2. This week they're playing Rainbow Six Vegas Part 2. So check them out. And also, from Page to Screen and Stuart and Big Pimpin', SFLA, I want to send shouts out to them. They've had me on a few of their shows. Check them out. They do a really good job. And Big Pimpin', when I said I'd be on your show in just a few minutes, now it's at like 7 o'clock. Oops. I double booked myself, but he's really a great guy. And a show should really check out is The Pimp's Corner. Definitely check that one out.
Oh, so definitely.
Shouts out to them. Scarfinger, Ten Pin Alley, the whole little group. Everybody who's checking out the Single Simulcast movement, I appreciate it. And let's just keep this ball rolling. All of us smaller podcasts, all of us who are doing for fun, doing it for the love, getting the dirty looks from our wives because we're up too late, things of that nature. Give us a review. And you know what, Henry? I'm so hip because I'm up to like midnight doing – I do a video version of this of Single Simulcast that goes on YouTube. I just did one where I talk about an awful job that I had working for Kirby Vacuum Cleaners. And I did one where I animated it, and it was about Child's Play. And I did one where I teach people my dance, the Derek. Each of them take like 3 or 4 hours. And my wife's really good about it, especially now that she's into my video games.
Man.
But shouts out to the wives who let us do what we do. And y'all who are listening, let us know something. Even if it's on Facebook saying, I just got done listening to the latest episode of Geeks for the Win, and y'all are spot on about this prediction. And we retweet it. If we retweet something that you send, that's like the world to us.
Yes.
Really. Sending us that sort of feedback, something that small. That's the world. And it only takes you a few seconds. It only takes 150 characters or less. So knock that out.
Definitely. And quickly, Ace Black tweeted wanting Stewart to read his last chat, which...
Yes.
So go ahead, Stewart. He asked you.
His prediction was Nintendo will win with a new console and Sony will come out swinging, hopefully, and Microsoft will focus on Kinect. Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Yeah, that's what I don't think Microsoft has much else to focus Nintendo on right now.
And Henry, he said, shout out to Brink.
Yes, I will have shout Brink out to Brink
this week.
Why?
I'll have Brink this week.
Thank Why you, would sir. You do that? Game, Why would you do sir. That to yourself?
Because Gameplay sent it to me.
There Ooh. You go.
What do you
think? We'll be in the bar. We'll have
a Did you right skip now. A payment?
And you know, I do have to send time. One more shout out to Ace Black because I'm liking him more and more every 6 minutes.
No, 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 no. Wait, wait, wait. The Ace Black.
Of Ace Black Entertainment.
Or L Ace Black.
Else.
La.
Oh, he's back in the chat.
La Ace Black.
He's back in the chat and he said the. So yeah, he heard it. He wasn't being called correctly, so
yeah.
He's back in the chat to
italicized and in bold letters.
You know what? Coming from Ohio State University, I feel you on that because it's the Ohio State, not Ohio State. And so the Ace Black, I'd like to send a shout out to him because this guy right here, this freaking guy. I hope I have a fan like you listening to Single Simulcast, Ace, because if that's the case, I'm doing all right for myself.
Oh, don't worry. We'll the next couple episodes we'll hype up your podcast and he'll jump on ship because oh, yeah. he's the jumper. You hype well, something hey. Up, you hype a video game up, he'll jump right on it.
Oh, he will go to the store and he will buy it in that moment. Be like, yeah, he's like, I was playing Lost Planet 2. I'm already on it right now.
I'm at Walmart.
Level 6.
Nah, Ace is actually cool, man. Shout out to Ace, man, because he's been rolling on those old school game nights and getting the PSN reinvigorated with Killzone 3 game nights, man. He's
on good, proof of point now.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, good guy.
But yeah, with that, I guess this has been episode 47 of the Geeks for the Win podcast, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
And scene.